For example, back in 2001, when I started investing, it was right after 9/11. And who could have predicted something like 9/11 and the impact that would have on the economy?
So another example is COVID in 2020. And none of us could have predicted that that would happen. But then all the resulting regulations that the government passed at that point made it so people had short-term rentals that were shut down for sometimes, you know, 3, 6, 12 months.
Are you looking for opportunities to invest in passive real estate syndications? Join our exclusive community at FastFire Capital, where we're dedicated to bringing doctors and other high-income earners priority access to the best opportunities to invest in large multifamily and other types of commercial properties. Not only that, by being part of the community, you'll get exclusive access to webinars and Q&As, where you'll be able to raise your passive investing IQ. To join our community, go to semiretiredmd.com/syndication. Again, that address is semiretiredmd.com/syndication.
Hey, Doctors Building Wealth. Did you hear that Kenji and I wrote a book called Life on Your Terms, which is a fable of two doctor couples, one who goes the traditional route, investing in their 401ks and working harder, and one that decides to invest in real estate, and what happens to those two couples over 5 years?
Our book is now out and available for purchase. Be sure to go to semiretiredmd.com/book to pick up a copy today.
And write us a review, because it's going to be so helpful to us to be able to get this book out into the larger community and be able to affect more change and impact more lives. And in case you didn't know, all the profits of our book go to our Doctors Legacy Building Foundation, which is all about helping underserved communities be able to get financial literacy. Thank you for all of your support.
Welcome to the Doctors Building Wealth podcast, the place where we talk about the strategies, habits, and mindset that separate wealthy docs from those who are not. We're your hosts, Leyte and Kenji.
Welcome to another episode of the Doctors Building Wealth podcast. Today, Kenji and I are going to be talking about syndication capital calls and really what we believe is missing from the conversation. So the news is that there has been a lot about syndication capital calls happening and syndicators actually having their deals fall apart. And I'm sure some of you have heard about it. It really started getting into the news in a big way last April, in April of 2023, when there was a multifamily syndicator who lost 3,200 units in Houston due to foreclosure. And that syndicator actually was fairly new. He had been doing it for just a couple of years, but extremely successful, and actually raised enough money to buy thousands of units very, very quickly.
And since then, there's been a lot of reports of other syndicators who have also had to request capital calls from investors. You guys may have heard it. If you haven't, you can easily search and find lots of reports of people talking about this. Hey, I just got a capital call. Or even worse, some properties and deals are actually falling apart completely.
And we've seen a lot of this actually in our doctor Facebook groups, where people are really worried and concerned about what's going on. And in Kenji and our opinion, it's actually likely to get much worse over the next year. And I know that there's a lot of talk about if interest rates do not go down, that there are going to be a lot more issues later this fall. And so what we wanted to talk about is what we really think is missing from this conversation, which is a conversation about humbleness.
And what we wanted to talk about in this episode was we wanted to talk about the commentary about it. And if you search in these communities that Leyte just mentioned, and if you watch any Instagram reels or shorts, what you see is a lot of criticism. People talking about what they did wrong, what mistakes they made, what they should have done differently. And I read a lot of this commentary and I listened to a lot of videos, and it really struck me. It seemed that a lot of the commentary came from people with little or no experience. And most haven't experienced what it's like to invest during a major recession. And that's because the last major recession was in 2008, which is about 15 years ago. What was also striking to me was I didn't see a lot of commentary from experienced investors, people who have been around a long time, people who invested during that last major recession in 2008. And that was a really stark contrast, because there were just, on the one hand, there were so many people who were inexperienced talking about all the stuff that's going on with capital calls. And then on the other side, it was like crickets, hardly anything. And I was wondering why this stark contrast, why was there such this huge difference between these experienced investors and inexperienced investors. And I was just trying to understand what is missing from the conversation. And as I thought about it, I think what was really missing was humility.
Yeah, experienced investors, I think, have a lot more humility because, so for example, Kenji and I have been investing in real estate together now a combined over 30 years. And Kenji started investing in 2001. So he's been through multiple downturns. And I think you really get humbled when you go through a recession because you're able to see how many things you couldn't have predicted or out of your control. And it gives you a humbleness that perhaps it extends when you see other people having problems and having made mistakes.
Experienced investors know that we can control what we can control, right? Which is that we can mitigate risks. But sometimes you just can't possibly account for everything. And I think that's where inexperienced investors, they just don't understand that. And so sometimes there are these random events that you can't predict. Like back in 2001, when I started investing, it was right after 9/11. And who could have predicted something like 9/11 and the impact that would have on the economy?
So another example is COVID in 2020. And none of us could have predicted that that would happen. But then all the resulting regulations that the government passed at that point made it so people had short-term rentals that were shut down for sometimes 3, 6, 12 months, especially in Hawaii, for example. It was really, really tough for a lot of people in our community because they couldn't have any renters in their short-term rentals. And then, for example, with us in Washington State, we actually had almost 2 years of COVID restrictions where we were not able to evict people. And that caused a lot of havoc in terms of non-paying tenants who literally lived in our buildings rent-free for an extended period of time. We could never have predicted that. In fact, we closed on a property in March of 2020 and had all these awesome plans about turning it around really quickly and doing all the rehab. And we just couldn't do that. It actually took us 18 months, almost 2 years, to be able to rehab this property and get it to where it should have been within 3 to 6 months of buying it. And then yet another example, we have a mentor of ours who lost actually $100 million in one crash back in the 80s. And what happened to him is he was doing a development project and they actually found an endangered salamander in an underground cave that could not have been anticipated, and that actually shut down his entire development project. And then the dominoes started falling after that. And that is just something that's a black swan event that you cannot predict.
And we also know another very experienced investor who owned 800 single family homes back in 2008. And we were talking to him and he said he was only 30% leveraged, which means that if it was a $100,000 home, he only had a $30,000 loan on it. So he was not very leveraged. And even then, with the 2008 crash, with the dramatic impact of that crash on housing prices, he said he couldn't survive. He had to let go of those homes and he lost $50 million.
When you daydream about your future, I'll bet it doesn't include you still working into your 60s and 70s. But unless you're actively taking steps to break the cycle of trading time for money, that's the future most of us face. Ignite Your Journey will lay out a roadmap to show you how to finally break that cycle and achieve true financial freedom. And it will show you how to do it in just 3 to 5 years, rather than the 20 or so it takes for traditional investments or saving in your retirement accounts. For more information, go to semiretiredmd.com/IYJ.
This week's podcast is sponsored by our course, Zero to Freedom Through Cashflowing Rentals. Zero to Freedom Through Cashflowing Rentals is a 10-week online course focused on helping physicians and high-income earners go from knowing little to nothing about real estate investing to confidently buying the cashflowing rentals will allow them to achieve financial freedom and work in medicine or their day jobs on their own terms. Our course is only open to registration twice a year, so be sure to get on the waitlist at semiretiredmd.com and check out the course details on our course landing page.
This episode is brought to you by Dan Peck of Movement Mortgage. If you're an experienced investor, you'll know just how important it is to have a lender who knows how to work with investors. We've been working with Dan and his team for over 8 years now, and he's our go-to whenever we need a residential loan for our investment properties. Now, if you're new to investing, you might not know this, but your lender can sometimes be the difference between getting a great deal or completely missing out on it because your lender couldn't close the deal. And I did want to point out that Dan can help you not only with your investment properties, but also if you're looking to buy a primary residence or vacation home. So the next time you're looking for a residential lender, be sure to email Dan at srmd@movement.com to get a free consultation and also let them know that you're part of the Semi-Retired MD community to get an exclusive discount on your next loan. Now back to the episode.
So what you've heard from us is there are examples of things happening in the economy or the world that greatly affect what's going on in your personal local real estate portfolio. But then you've also heard that there are specific things that can happen even from a property or finding a salamander that can derail your whole development project or your plans for your rental property. And those can just happen randomly and you can do all the risk mitigation in the world, but sometimes you can't anticipate these things.
And I'll just kind of talk about the current environment. You know, interest rates have risen and people are panicking and talking about how it's impossible to find deals. But remember, interest rates used to be double digits and people are talking about how interest rates may go up even more. And you might think of this as a black swan event, but let's just imagine interest rates do go to double digits. What's going to happen to your investments, right? And so again, just wanted to put out there that one of the most important things I'm here is it's really important for all of us to stay humble and know that sometimes there will be these black swan events and sometimes you will also make mistakes. Even Warren Buffett and Ray Dalio, some of the top most incredible investors, have also made investing mistakes.
And I would go even a step further and say, when we've heard from Ray Dalio, for example, one of the things he talks about is setting up asymmetric risk reward, understanding that a lot of investments are actually not going to be great. And so you want to set yourself up for the returns being so asymmetrical that even if 4 out of 5 of your investments don't work out, you still are at least neutral or making money. And he's planning ahead, really, to know that mistakes are going to happen and to make sure that you're still going to end up on top. So this is really important in real estate, is just to acknowledge that we're all not going to get every property right. There are going to be some home runs and those are awesome. There are going to be some base hits, and then there are going to be some properties that are just not great. And you're going to end up saying, you know what? I want to get rid of this property and I want to move on. And I can definitely say that Kenji and I have had a couple of those through our investing experience where properties just, we had beautiful plans for them. Things happen, like fires, tornadoes, like random things that you could not have anticipated. And at a certain point, we just said, you know, this property is just not what we thought it was going to be. Let's take the property, let's take the equity, sell this property and roll it into the next property. And let's work on finding a better alternative that's going to make us more money. And so just know that even the most experienced investors make mistakes. In fact, they plan for making mistakes because it is a normal part of investing.
I just wanted to share a story. When we had an investment offering, an investor actually asked me if their investment was 100% guaranteed. And I said, no, investing involves risk. And so no investment is 100% guaranteed.
And in fact, you actually have the potential for greater returns, the more risk. That's kind of a general equation. So for example, short-term rentals often have greater returns, cash and cash returns, than long-term rentals. But part of that is because they are more risk. Of course, they're more work as well. But when you have higher risk, often you get higher reward. And so when you're looking at two investments side by side, if one has much higher reward, you have to question to yourself, is there a higher risk of losing it all or losing a big chunk of my money with this? And oftentimes that's the case. And you can choose to make that educated decision that, hey, I'm going to go for getting that higher potential return, but I'm willing to take a little bit more risk to get there.
If you're an experienced investor listening to this and you agree with the importance of staying humble, one thing that I ask is maybe you could speak up when you come across this type of commentary from less experienced investors and let them know, hey, investing involves risk, and normalize that and teach them that, hey, the goal is to win most of the time. The goal is not to win 100% of the time and expect to win 100% of the time, because at the end of the day, that's not what investing is.
And I think I just want to speak also for a lot of the syndicators in this community who are really experienced syndicators and really care and really did the best that they could, but didn't necessarily win every time. And that doesn't mean that they were sloppy or anything like that. Things sometimes happen that are outside of your control that can result in these kind of situations. Of course, being sloppy and not really knowing what you're doing, that does sometimes happen as well. So there are both those cases, but I wouldn't just jump to attack people when you see that an investment has a capital call, because oftentimes there are things that could not have been anticipated that have happened. And so, yeah, stay humble. And I think also this goes for the newer investors too. There are many of you who have been investing since the last downturn. You started in 2019 with one of our courses, and you now had a lot of success, which is awesome. We love that. But also remember, you were investing with a huge tailwind that has helped you significantly. And in the future, that may not be there to the same level. And so you also want to stay humble and not tie your worth in, as an investor, to how you have performed so far. Because there will be tough times sometimes. There will be properties that don't work out. It doesn't mean that you're a bad investor. It means that all of us investors are going to make mistakes. We're going to have quote unquote failures, which are learning opportunities, and it's going to strengthen us as investors. And then finally, for those of you who are looking for mentorship in real estate investing, I would highly encourage you to mentor with people who have been through recessions, because it is a very different thing to have lived through a recession and seen what can happen and be able to adjust and risk mitigate and to be able to make it through those tough times. Rather than to have been investing for the last 3 or 4 years and had really great results and then go out there and do mentorship when you don't really know what it's like to go through these tough times.
Yeah. And I think that that's kind of the difference here. This episode really speaks to that difference of somebody who lived through that 2008 downturn emotionally feels what it felt like. And as a result, when I talk to people and in our course, we really stress risk mitigation. We're not going to eliminate all risk, right? But what we're going to do is we're going to try to control what we can control and mitigate risk as much as possible. And there's such an emphasis on that because, again, I experienced that downturn. I know what it was like. And I know that these events that are unpredictable can happen. And when it does, we just want to make sure that most times than not, you're going to come out ahead.
Yeah. So stay humble no matter where you are in your journey. Know that tough times will sometimes be there, and that is just part of it. And the key is that you really learn from it and you continue onward. And there is no need to drag down people who have things happen in their portfolio, because a lot of times, again, they were really good investors and sometimes things just happen. So thanks for joining us today on Doctors Building Wealth. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to leave us a review. And we're happy to hear your comments. You can write to support@semiretiredmd.com. We would love to hear from you. Thanks for joining us.
The Doctors Building Wealth podcast provides information only and does not provide any financial, legal, tax, medical, or psychological services or advice. You are responsible for your own financial, physical, mental, and emotional well-being, decisions, choices, actions, and results. You should contact a professional if you have any specific questions about your unique situation.